spent a few nights in hospital. Lovely hospital. Nice ensuite room overlooking a park. Well, beautiful. We can posh up in Bristol, innit? Hey? And you've been praying for me. And I know you've been praying for me, not just because people have told me, we've been praying for you, but the fact that I'm stood here now. You know, when I was in hospital, I had a very bad reaction to one of the antibiotics they were pumping into me. And it wasn't very pleasant. And I'm just calling out to Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the sister that was there came up, she said, it's okay. God has got it all under control. And okay. So she came back later after everything had been sorted. I said, are you a Christian? Yes, she said. I am. And she said, I know you are. Well, apart from the fact that I called out to Jesus, when they come around with that little form and said, what religion are you? And you know, we've got C of E. Everybody puts C of E, don't they? Or Methodist or Baptist or whatever. And I said, Christian. So she said, I knew. Yes, I used to be a pastor in a church in Bristol. Oh, she said, what church was that? I said, Elim at Bristol. And she looked at me and her mouth went, that's my church. That's the church I go to. Wow, God has his hand on every part of our lives, doesn't he? Wow. Do you smell that smell in this place? You smell that incense? That's because I've lit some candles. That spoiled it for you, hasn't it? That spoiled it for you. You know, we don't need that incense anymore. We don't need to offer incense to God because our praise is as incense to his throne. Amen? And just praising and worshiping, just the presence of God in the place. And I don't know about you, but when I feel the presence of God, my eyes start to leak. You know, just become a bubbling wreck, don't you? Anyway, I digress. This morning, the temple. Now, many years ago, and Eileen would know this, Elim at Bristol used to be called the City Temple. Elim churches were like that. They would have a city temple in most of the cities around. Nothing like the temple you're going to see now. Well, that didn't work, did it? Oh, hang on. That's some place, isn't it? It doesn't actually exist anymore. Okay, you can't go off there and think, oh, I'm going to visit that place. The first temple of Jerusalem, known as Solomon's Temple, built by King Solomon, third king of Israel. And it was a permanent place of worship and the main center of devotion to God. It was where man and God would meet. Wow. A costly place. The ceiling was 180 feet long. The highest point on that temple was probably about 20 stories high. Wow. And Solomon spared no expense. He ordered the best cedar wood, huge blocks of stone. In fact, he went into debt building it, and it cost him 20 towns. 20 towns in the area of Galilee. And you think, wow, that's a lot of money for a temple. When you read the description of the temple, as I said, he used the best timber, the best stone, and the inside overlaid with gold. Not gold-plated, overlaid with gold. And you think that's expensive. Nigel and I were looking at a temple. You know, when you go online and start researching, it takes you down all sorts of little rabbit holes, doesn't it? Yeah, and you end up thinking, an hour later, I think, I still haven't got where I want to go. So we came upon this temple in Kerala. Padmanabhaswamy. I practiced that. That word's about that long, okay? Do you know what they found in the vaults? A Padmanabhaswamy temple? 14 billion pounds worth of gold and treasure. 14 billion pounds. When you look at the poor and the destitute in India, that could wipe out poverty in India. 14 billion pounds. That temple pales into insignificance of the cost of that one. And yet there is a more precious temple. And we'll come to that later. Nigel read earlier on, we are the temple of God. We, that's us, that's you and me. Yeah, we look through the Old Testament and we see Solomon's temple and Zerubbabel's temple. You have to go careful saying that because your teeth start flying out. Zerubbabel's temple, and then Herod's temple. You know, the one that Jesus would have worshipped at. The one that Jesus went into and got quite upset, didn't he? Turned the tables on. He's like, you lot, get out. My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. You have made it a den of thieves. And each one of those temples has been destroyed. Each one of them ransacked. Gone. You probably see some ruins of it in Jerusalem. All that to meet with God. All that to come into the presence of God. that temple represents the Garden of Eden, where man first communed with God. You see the menorah are the trees, and then you'll see the flowers around, and the pomegranates around, and the seraphim. That's where the priest would go to meet. You know, I say, as the Israelites were wandering around for the 40 years, they sort of took God camping with them, and they would set up the tabernacle, and again, on those same lines, that you'd have the outer court where the sacrifices were made, where they cut up the sheep and barbecued them. And then as you walked in past the smell of slaughter, you went into the Holy of Holies, where the incense was just wafting up. And the priest once a year would go in to the Holy of Holies with a rope tied around his ankle. They said, because if you went into the Holy of Holies, you had to be as pure can be. Because the priest went in and he had sin in his life, then God would, he'd be gone. And they'd use the rope to pull what remained of him out of the Holy of Holies. And there you are, wife, that's what's left of your husband. Can you imagine having to go through that to meet with God? And yet, God sent his son, another temple, that we could meet with God through him. And what did man do? Man destroyed the temple. But you see, Jesus warned them, didn't he? Yeah, you destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. They destroyed Jesus, or thought they had. And what happened 3 days later? Boom, there's the temple. Wow. That Jesus would do that for you and me. That we don't have to go into a place like that. We couldn't afford to overlay gold all the way through here, could we? Are you sure? It's very nice. But it's not the temple of God, is it? I bet you'd like some of the gold from there, wouldn't you? Three days, and he rebuilt the temple. It looks good when I move these papers about, doesn't it? I'm not reading any of them. But God does not dwell in non-living things without destiny. He uses them for a purpose. But God dwells in humans with destiny. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Nigel's already done all the readings, hasn't he? Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? You understand what that means, do you? Yeah? You are God's temple. You see, that may have cost millions. The temple in that place in India, I can't read it because I can't say it because I haven't got it written phonetically on every page. 14 billion. But you are the temple of God and you are priceless. Can you imagine? There is no price. You, the temple, are priceless. You know, we walked into the prayer room this morning, and I haven't been here for several weeks, and there on the wall is the temple. That was your teaching, wasn't it, Rachel? Yeah, last week. Or out in the kids' church, that was the teaching. And I thought, okay. So Rachel knows all about this temple. I'll better go very, very careful. Because Rachel will come up to me afterwards and say, excuse me, you know when you said that? Well, actually, it doesn't really say that. That's why I'm not going into all the little bits of the temple, okay? I feel like I'm bringing the temple into the here and the now. That was then. That served its purpose. Zerubbabel's temple served its purpose. Herod's temple served its purpose. We are serving our purpose. Each and every one of us. We are the temple of God. First Thessalonians 1:4. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Wow. How does that make you feel right now? Worthy? Unworthy? A bit apprehensive? It can be a huge burden, being the temple of God. But what did Jesus say about the burden? Cast your burden onto him. He's not asking you to do it alone. He's not asking you to stand alone. He's there with you. He has chosen you. He has called you. You are the temple of God. And, I think about my life. Going back. Me? A temple? That God is in me? But look at the things that I've done. I've stolen. I've lied. I've been immoral. I'm going no deeper than that, okay? So all of you that sat there going, ooh, juicy gossip. And I carry on doing things wrong. I don't get it right. I keep on tripping myself up. I keep on messing up. But I am a temple of the living God. You are a temple for the living God. But you don't know my life. I don't want to know your life. He knows your life. He knows every step you've taken and every step you ever will take. He will be with you every step of the way if you allow him. Jesus didn't come for the perfect person. He came to seek and to save the lost, those who are in sin. That's you and me. He came for you and me. Jesus came to give us life. He says, I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. Wow. Jesus came for the broken. Jesus came for you, that you might be a temple of Almighty God. And I sit there thinking, but I feel so inadequate. I feel just unable to fulfill what you have for me. What does he have? Oh, abundant life. What have I got to do for that abundant life? First of all, I have to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior in my life. I have to confess my sin to him and tell him, look, I'm sorry, Lord, but I'm following you. And for each one of us that feels inadequate, all Father's asking is make yourself available. Simple, isn't it? But I can't do this and I can't do that. And yeah, we could list excuse after excuse after excuse. And we could go on for weeks making excuses about why we can't do this, why we can't do that, why we can't tell our next door neighbor about Jesus, why we can't go on a prayer walk, why we can't come to a prayer meeting. An excuse, an excuse, an excuse. And God is saying, make yourself available in prayer, in praise. You don't need to come into a building like this to praise God. You can do it in the car on the motorway coming down. Yeah. Oh, boy. We had, what was his name? Alan Jackson. Alan Jackson singing gospel. He was country, you know. Yeehaw! And by the time we got down here, we were... Yeehaw! You can praise him wherever you are. Now, you may look a bit strange walking around the supermarket, walking around Morrison's. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But wherever you are, you can praise. Wherever you are, you can pray. Wherever you are, you can be the temple of the living God. Allow the Holy Spirit to come, fill you, touch you, use you. I don't know if you remember, a few weeks ago, Eileen came up to me. She said, do you know this song? And she said, I haven't got a clue. No. It was one of those, I was going to say, very, 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 very old ones, but Eileen's not that old. Sacred Songs and Solos, Sankey's, Alexander's. And she stood up and she spoke out the words. I thought, thank you, Lord. If I'd sung it out, Eileen wouldn't have stood up and prayed as she did. So I went home and I found the song. Let the dew of heaven fall upon this thirsty soul. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. Holy Spirit, come and take control. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. And that song has been, it's like an earworm. Yeah? And every time I sit down, it, let the dew of heaven, I think, allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. Allow the Holy Spirit to touch you. And if you're sat here and you think, what on earth is he on about? What's his Holy Spirit? What's this? Just see one of us afterwards. But make yourself available to him. Allow the Holy Spirit to come in and reside in the temple. That's you and that's me. Allow the glory of God to flow in you and through you. This nation can be changed. This nation can be turned around. Yeah, we see this country at the moment, and if we're not worrying about floods, we're worrying about catching a virus. If allow God to be God in your life. You are a temple. Each and every one of you. Oh, but I don't feel like it. I don't feel I'm worthy of being a temple. I don't feel. And God's not asking you to feel. He's asking you to make yourself available. You make yourself available and allow God to fill. Yeah? Don't make excuses. I was playing a song. Have we got that song ready? Yeah? I think the words will come up on there, and it speaks to me.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
And you say, but you don't know my life. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't, not all of you, but I know what I've been through. And I know that he's taken me from the muck and from the mire, and he's lifted me up to where I am today. I've been in that place where I felt worthless, and he's given me a value. I'm a custom design creation of Almighty God. And the same with you. Custom design creations of Almighty God. There is no one like you. There is no one like me, thank God. God can use you. If you allow him into your life, if you allow the Holy Spirit to use you as a temple, wow. This world will not know what's hit it. This country will not know what's hit it. You are who he says you are. Who gives you your value? The person sat next to you? No. He gives you a value. To us, it's priceless. He allowed his son to die for each one of us. Every single one of us. And we say, well, yeah, but I don't believe. That's your choice. But believe you me, you have a choice to make. You have a choice to make. You are the temple that God resides in. Wow. Priceless. Amen.